Today we want to think on the subject of post-resurrection appearances. And I want to begin by reading 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep, or in other words, have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Now, Paul reminded the Corinthian believers that Jesus revealed himself a number of times following his resurrection to various individuals. He did not give a complete list of all that Jesus appeared to, and his purpose was to remind them that there were numerous witnesses of his resurrection. But it is interesting why Jesus appeared to certain people. First of all, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and that was to comfort her. In Mark chapter 16, verse 9, we read this. Now when Jesus had risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils or demons. And John 20 gives us the account of this incident. Jesus had done so much for her. He had delivered her from demon possession, and he had saved her. And she was a devout follower of Jesus and was deeply grieved that he was put to death. But to see him and know that he was alive would have brought great comfort to Mary. Every one of us goes through difficult times. Maybe it's our health, or it's an accident, or death of a loved one, or numerous other things. And Jesus is concerned for us, and that believers experience his comfort regardless of what they might be going through. He wants to comfort our hearts during those difficult times. And then secondly, Jesus appeared to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, and that was to correct them. Two disciples walked to Emmaus when Jesus joined them and questioned them as to why they were sad. They told him about Jesus and how he had been put to death. And then they said, and notice in Luke 24, verses 21 to 24, Luke 24, verses 21 to 24, and we read this. This is what those two disciples said. But we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and they found not his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, and said that he was alive. and certain of them which were with him, were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus expounded to them from the Old Testament scriptures how he, as the Redeemer, had to die and rise again and enter glory. Jesus wants his people to know and walk in the truth. Sometimes we get mixed up or are confused in our understanding of Scripture, and God wants to gently correct us and lead us in His Word, that we might understand the truth and then live according to them. And then Jesus appeared to all of the disciples to confirm his promise. The two disciples returned to Jerusalem and met with the other disciples to tell them that Jesus had appeared to them and was really risen, just as Peter had said. And then Jesus appeared in their midst. And in Luke 24, verse 39, we read, where Jesus said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And then verses 44 to 45, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now his appearance to them confirmed the truth of the Old Testament promises and his promises. You see, God wants to lead and bless and answer prayer to confirm to us the truth of the promises of his word. God's word is true, and he wants us to never forget that. And then fourthly, he appeared to Peter, and that was to compel him. Peter had denied his Lord. He had denied three times and had repented and had seen him in his resurrection body. And though he was forgiven, he may have felt unworthy to serve the Lord now that he had denied him those times. In John 21, it appears that Peter intended to go back to his former occupation of fishing. He may have felt unworthy of serving him, and unworthy and undependable. But Jesus talked with Peter and compelled him to go forth and serve him as a fisher of men. In John 21, verse 15, we read, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he's referring to the fish. "And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs." And Jesus did this three times to Peter. You see, we fail the Lord many times ourselves, and it is easy to become discouraged and think we cannot be used of the Lord anymore. But God wants us to know that he forgives, and when we confess our sin, he will compel us to go forth and to follow him and to serve him. And many times in Scripture it says, "Go ye," and at the last Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. You see, Jesus still wants us to serve him, even if we fail him and confess him. And then Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he commissioned them. Just before Jesus ascended up into heaven, he wanted the disciples to know that the main thrust of their ministry was to be what it was to be. And therefore, he met with them again, and he commissioned them. And in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we read, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This commission was not only for those disciples, but it's for the church from Pentecost to the rapture. And God never wants us to forget that we are commissioned to evangelize, to baptize, and to disciple the converts. God wants us to faithfully not only live for him, but to serve him. And then sixthly, Jesus appeared to the two Marys, and that was to give evidence that he was truly alive. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, we read, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." And then in verse 9 we read, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." There are many people today that do not believe the things that the scripture teaches. They don't believe concerning Jesus being the Son of God and how we can be saved and how we can live for the Lord and serve him. But the Bible gives indisputable evidence of these things, and we need to always believe them and then follow the Lord and faithfully serve him. And then seventh and last of all, there was the Apostle Paul, and he was converted. Though Jesus had already ascended into heaven, he appeared to Paul in a vision that Paul might believe and be converted. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, we read this, "And last of all, he was seen of me," and that's Paul writing, "he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." Now, it is through the scriptures that sinners are converted, or God wants us to faithfully take the gospel to the lost, that they might see and believe Jesus by faith and be converted. Remember, Revelation chapter 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." In other words, he will come in and save us, and then we can enjoy fellowship with him as we walk with him and follow him. Someone wrote, a little more than a month before Easter, she had returned from the burial place outside the great city, leaving there in the silence of the grave her 14-year-old boy who had died. 2 days later, her little girl gave up the fight and also died. And then in less than a week, her baby died. Only the 3-year-old child that they had escaped. And the reason the others died was because of diphtheria. When Easter came, she was in church with her husband, the mother, and the child, and her face was pale, but tender and beautiful. She wore no emblem of her sorrow, and the lilies and violets on her coat were like those she had worn every Easter since I had known her. When the congregation rose to sing, she sang softly the words, "The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ, their legions, hath dispersed." Her husband stood with his head bowed. He could not sing, but she touched his hand as it lay on the back of the pew, and when they recited the Apostles' Creed, I heard him saying the words steadily, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." She taught her class of girls that day, and he went to his superintendent's desk and led his class in worship and read the Easter story with only a break now and then in his voice. Amidst the faces lined with suffering and rebellion and despair of that Easter congregation, they seemed like a miracle. A 15-year-old boy who was walking home with his father that day from the Sunday service said, "Dad, I guess Mr. and Mrs.," and he said their name, "I guess they really believe it, don't they?" And he asked his boy, "Believe what, son?" And he said, the whole big thing, all of it, Easter, you know, I guess they really believe all of it. You see, Christ really did rise for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he really was buried, and he really did rise the third day, according to the scriptures. And that truth ought to bring comfort to the hurting, correction to those who really don't believe it, confirmation to those who question it, and compelling to those who are weary and discouraged, and commissioning to those who are committed, and evidence to those who verbally deny this glorious truth, and salvation to those who accept Christ and his finished work on Calvary and his resurrection. As we close, we ask the question, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you rejoicing in the wonderful truth that we have? And do you know him as Savior? And then are you serving him as the risen, living Savior? He definitely is our Savior, and we need to receive him and then live for him and faithfully serve him. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together in your word. We thank you, Father, that Jesus left heaven's glory. He came to earth. He went to the cross. He died there for our sin. And he was buried, but he rose again. And he's a living Savior. And he will save all of those that receive him by faith, and then he will, because he's a living Savior, he will be with us and help us through any need that we might have. And we thank you so much for this, Father, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. and for his sake. Amen.